Well, hello there, my beautiful souls. Yes, it's me, Sandy Joy Weston. I can't believe I've been podcasting for over 16 years, and my agent realized I keep forgetting to tell you something super important. Yes, besides being a podcast host and an author, I am also a keynote speaker. What? I bring big energy, powerful shifts, and inspiration to audiences all over. How could I not tell you this? So if you're planning something fabulous and you want your crowd to shine bright and have a blast, head over to my sandyjoyweston.com website and check out my speaker page. I would love for you to refer me, recommend me. I would love for you to be in my audience. So let's make some pure joy together. I really appreciate it. Toodles.
This is Let's Keep It Real with Sandy Joy Weston, your weekly dose of positivity with awesome stories and guests from all over the world. It's an opportunity to learn some great new things and expand your mind. We'll tackle topics from all areas of life, and as always with Sandy, the sky's the limit.
Well, you know, people, my next guest, it was really tough to decide when and where to bring her on, because man, oh man, is she a dynamo. So is she going to be on my Let's Keep It Real podcast? Is she going to be on, Hey, I Got Something to Say podcast for women around the world? I wasn't sure, but I decided I wanted to hear the longer version. I wanted to go into a deep dive with Rochelle. So I'm bringing her on the Let's Keep It Real. You never know. We could bring her back for, Hey, I Got Something to Say. But welcome, Rochelle. Thank you for being on the show.
I'm so excited. This is such a treat.
I know. It's sad that we can't just like pop over. Although
right.
We're an hour and a half away, right? You're in Maryland?
I am. Yeah.
What do we think of that? We could have done this together. It's like an hour and 15-minute train ride.
I mean, hey, maybe you're speaking something into existence, into the future. So, hey, I'm all for it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try to stay within time and schedule, and I'm going to get a few of your questions. Listen, people, I can't get all these questions in, but I'll do my best. All right, here we go. Let me tell you a little bit about Rochelle. Rochelle Slay Queen Hemingway is a highly decorated United States Air Force veteran who served 30 years, rising to the prestigious rank of Command Chief Master Sergeant. Holy freaking moly. As the commander of... Oh my God, I can't. I'm like, holy freaking moly. I keep saying this again because I love first and I never had anyone with this background. And I've been doing this for 16 and 17 years.
Wow.
17 years.
Oh, wow. I'm so happy that we're doing this.
I'm going to say this again. She's a veteran who served 30 years, rising to the prestigious rank of Command Chief Master Sergeant. As the founder of Slay to Success, she empowers women professionals, particularly veterans, to embrace their authentic personal brand and unlock, amen, sister, their, listen to this, lucrative opportunities. Show me the money. We forget
that. That's right.
A dynamic keynote speaker, I'm sure, personal brand expert, 4 times author, and certified image consultant. Oh, dear Lord, help me. Please help me. I don't want to pick out clothes. I wore a t-shirt because I knew it was on brand. Rochelle
on brand.
Is passionate about inspiring women to step confidently into leadership roles with purpose and power. As you can see, we have nothing to talk about. Nothing.
Right. Absolutely nothing.
All right. So let's get right into it. You get to pick one word that best describes your past 30 days, whatever pops into your head, and then tell us why you picked it.
Impactful. Okay. Yes.
Why in the last 30 days?
The last 30 days, I have seen the growth over my journey, the start of my entrepreneurial journey. And I'm now in discussions that I have been preparing for. And that's in negotiations with corporates, you know, so that way I can, you know, put my gifts, my talents, use my services to support others. And I never really saw it coming until it was like there. And I'm like, yes. And I had no idea where I was going, but now I do. Like I did, but I didn't. You know what I mean? Like we're on a journey all the time. But now I'm like, let's go. Let's go.
All right. I feel like a kindred spirit in this. And I'm not just saying that because of the sleigh and all that. Because, you know,
yeah.
But I want to make sure I heard you right. And I want the listeners and viewers to make sure I got this. You knew your overall mission. You knew what you wanted to accomplish, but you weren't sure on how it was going to come to fruition. And you were open to how it was going to unfold.
Absolutely.
And so I feel that's the way my mission is to spread joy, right? I know how that's I want to do it, but I don't really go, oh, I always wanted to. But when the opportunity hits, I go, oh,
yeah,
I'm open to it. Let's go.
Yeah.
But you know that you want to make an impact and you know your audience and you know what you're all about. Like when I saw your neck piece, I was just like, holy freaking moly. I wore a star. I wore a star. And that was an accident. There was a stain on my shirt.
Yeah. So you discovered it. Yeah. I love it. It's definitely an image consultant trick, if you will. So
so did I say that right? Because I want to make sure they heard it. Because so many people go, I don't, some of my friends, they know they want to do this and they want to be a doctor. So they're going to the resident, then they go to internship, then they do this and they do that. And I don't have that. And I knew this is my mission.
Yeah.
This is what I enjoy doing. And let's see how it goes. And that's
right.
Okay.
And that's how I want it, because being in the service, it was like that. It's very regimented. Here's your career path. This is where you're going. This is what you're doing. And off you go. And after retirement, I didn't want that energy anymore. I knew who I wanted to serve and what I wanted to do, but I was allowing myself to go with ease and flow. If there was an opportunity and it presented itself and it aligned with what I want to do in this next chapter, I've been saying yes. If it doesn't, or if it comes across as if, this is probably not where I need to do, I just say no. And I didn't get to do that when I was in service. So I'm changing and flipping the script and seeing where this goes. And it's definitely leading me to the right opportunities, the right people. Look, we're here. I'm like, if I would have never met Brenda McGregor, I would have never met you. So
damn shame. Damn shame. All right, we got to back up because forget my people's questions. I have so many questions.
Okay, let's go.
I want to go back because I'm good with the forward part. I got it down. I see like if it's aligned and we got questions about that, but it is such a departure for what you did for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I need to ask.
Yeah.
Did you love it the whole time?
No, there's a lot of ups and downs in military service. I was naive when I went in. I didn't understand the entirety of military service. So I just went in and got a job, medical technician. But then you start to see how you have to navigate in a system that is not designed for you to succeed. And it became very clear to me that I needed to do a lot of shifting. And that in itself is exhausting. It's a little bit tiresome. You're trying to convince, you know, I'm a great leader. You go out on deployments. Those were not great at all. A lot of times they were the scariest moments of my life, leaving family, leaving our son, not knowing what the day is going to present. I knew I had a mission to do. I did like the camaraderie, teamwork, you know, some of the challenges that we were facing. But when people hear 30 years of military service, they sometimes can't appreciate all of the sacrifice, the time, the effort that you have to put in to lead, and it becomes very high level when you get to certain points in your career. So you're not always just chilling. I was always on. like on. So I advise anyone who's going into the military to really understand what they're getting themselves into. I would not change it. I've gotten that question. I would not change it because that's what I was called to do. And it taught me a whole lot about myself and about other people.
Okay. So I can see how you're like, if I can do it in that, it's going to be easy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I really wasn't paying too much attention to it until about 6 months after I retired and realizing that I had all these skills that I had developed and kept doing repeat over and over again. That was getting me the success to the high leadership role. So if they say I'm good, why do I even think or question for a hot second that I'm not? I can start anything. I can do anything. I put my mind to it and put some work to it. So yeah, I decided that I was just going to, you know, be the CEO of my life, really, start there first and then move out. Yeah.
Okay. So I have to ask.
Yeah.
You mentioned they're setting you up not to succeed.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yes, kind of threw that in there.
Yeah.
My head was jumped into all kinds of conclusions. Not good ones.
Yeah, no, well, you're probably right on track of what I'm trying to say. And I'll just be blunt with you. You know, Black women serving in leadership roles in a highly conforming, male mostly fields, white males, there is a lot of virility in the service because they're like, why are you telling us what to do? And so it was just like, I didn't see that coming until, like, again, I think about 10, 12 years into service. And I was like, wait a minute. This is
messed up. Yeah.
This is going to be a doozy. All right. I got to create some strategies to make sure that I am showing up for, myself first before I start telling people, hey, this is what we're going to be doing. This is how the mission is. And once I started to set myself and to surround myself with allies and people who supported me, then I was like, okay, stay focused. You can get there. You got there. And so it just came one job after the next. And then before you know it, I'm at my last job and there's like 8,000 people on the base. I'm like, how did I get here? But there I was.
Wait, it's not just five. There's 8,000. Okay. So you said you had a calling.
Yeah. So that this calling, I didn't really see until about 26 years in service. So I had been doing a lot of things right, to get to the levels. But unfortunately, one of my airmen, when I was stationed in Arizona, he passed away, and tragically from his battle with depression. And we were very close. He was an airman, 20s. I'm in my 40s. And we would have these conversations all the time. And one of the things that he would tell me on a consistent basis was, Chief, and which was the title that I was serving in, you're slaying it. And I, again, being like older, I don't know what you're talking about. So when he passed away, it was 3 days before my last deployment. And that deployment was 6 months, countries of Jordan and Kuwait. So I didn't get to do, all the memorial service, the help the others in the organization to grieve and process, right? So I went out on a deployment and I was a broken person. I had a broken spirit. So I decided, to start journaling, and I journaled almost every day about my feelings and about, his passing away, and the word slay just kept coming up. I just looked it up, it's not in the regular dictionary, but even when you Google it, do the search, I looked at the meaning of the word finally. And I was like, that's it. Because the word slay means to kill it, to dominate it, and to nail it, to be on point, to impress greatly, to dream big and work hard until you own it.
Well,
and
well,
I said,
well.
I said,
that's on point.
I said, that's my word.
He was channeling it, man.
He was channeling it, you know, and I took it. I started owning it. I started to share it. And then at my last base, you know, when I was man chief, I, you know, when you're on stage, you have to be able to move people, right? Mm-hmm. To give them a vision, to give them hope and inspiration. And I was like, I could break this down into acronym. All right. Let me like attach some philosophies that really helped me throughout my career. So S is stay ready, be ready. L is lead out loud. A is a sense of community, a sense of family. And the letter Y is you are built to last.
Woo-hoo. Come on.
So guess what? I started to, you know, evolve and transformed into the woman that I had always been, but now it is so I'm out there, y'all. I'm just like, I'm out here. And I feel so good in my skin. Like, this is my skin. I am full of life. I walk into rooms with confidence and clarity. I make sure that the woman that's sitting beside me, you know, if there's women in the spaces, that they can see themselves being more, you know, whatever they are aspiring to be, because you know how we do for everybody else. Right. And then when it comes to us, we sometimes forget or lose our way. And I'm the reminder. I step in. I'm like, I remind people, look at where you've been. All right. Mm-hmm. And look where you at right now. And look how much more your future self is waiting for you. Like, let's go for that. Mm-hmm. So it's just an ongoing, this is every day. And I am loving it. I'm just like, yeah. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe it.
That's the best part of hanging out with you. I can tell. Like every day, it's like, oh my God, this is happening. And you are grateful and excited and willing to accept the challenge. And it's
absolutely
like, this is happening to me. It's happening to me. And you don't take it for granted.
That's right. You know, and I leaned into it because we can step back and say, oh no, like that's way too much. And I just asked the question, what it would happen if I just let go of past traumas, let go of past conversations, situations, and allowed myself to really be like I'm being right now. I was in a service where almost like you're a robot, you're programmed. Yeah. And there's a reason for it because, you know, military is for wars. They are set up so that way you can go to war. That's bottom line. So there is some programming. There's some training, you know, that you have to go through. And I'm using some of those skills now. But man, it's the exploring the edges of the possibilities. It's just endless.
Well, you know, you have that wonderful balance of after 30 years of service, I'm sure you know systems and you built habits and you know it's the things that you do every day. That's
every day.
Consistency is crucial. And you know that it's ingrained in you. So here you are. You already had, it's beautiful how you did it. It's already ingrained in you, the systems. And now here's this other part of, you know, freedom and letting the world show you, you know, what's available and taking risk and your eyes are wide open, you know, and you're showing up for all possibilities, but you still have your foundation too.
Yes. Every day I do three small things a day and I'll share because Sharon is Karen, right? I wake up every day and I work out. That's a non-negotiable for me. We built a gym in our house over the years because when you're in high leadership roles, my husband also served for 30 years. And so we had this schedule and it was just like, so anyway, we built a gym. And so we both are in the gym off times, you know, because he gets up earlier than me, but I got to get the workout in because it's my meditation. It's my clearing up my mind, it's moving my body, it's making sure that I'm showing up in the best version of myself. And then, you know, I look at what I have to do for the day. So I always have a little, you know, checklist, if you will. And I program, like you said, the time slots, right? How much time is it going to take for each of these things to carve out the time that I need during the day? But we also have a 14-year-old son, right? So, you know, he has his social activities and school and all that. I didn't get to do all the things when I was in service. But now I get to, because all I need to do is just rearrange things as needed, the things that are important to him. Yeah. So the value, my core values change from when I was in service to now, you know, being a civilian entrepreneur, if you will. So, and then I do these things every day. It's just small increments. I don't go all out big or anything like that. And when I feel like I'm reaching a point of exhaustion, I pull back. Mm. I don't go and just keep going. I pull back.
Yeah. Valuable.
So I would clear the calendar in a minute. You know, I don't have a problem calling somebody and say, hey, can we move something to another day? I just not up to it, you know, or I had a long night, you know, or whatever. So yeah, boundaries.
I have to tell you, that's something I think I get down. I swear to you, I think, okay, I'm good at saying no, protecting my time. And then slowly, I do a check-in every month, because what would happen is slowly things would get in there before I knew it. And too many things, I call it, people were plugged into me because I said yes to them, you know?
Yes, I'll do it. Yes, that's what we do.
Right. And then I'm like, whoa. So now I realize I can't just do a yearly check. I got to like do it monthly. Like, yeah, what's going on here? And do I really want to do it? And
exactly.
I have this question for you, and I'm going to wait to hear your answer. But a lot of the women wrote in about, you know, being authentic and speaking their truth, and they know they should do it. They're struggling with it. But one of the biggest things they had with being authentic as far as personally and professionally was being able to say no without guilt.
Mm.
They're struggling with, and I understand this.
That
especially, I'm not saying men don't, but especially females. I'll give you this one. I call her Sally Bell. Dear Rochelle, I think I'm a pretty good person. I think I'm a pretty good person.
Oh, gosh.
I got three kids. And lately, she's 54 and decided, holy moly. She didn't say holy moly. That was a swear word. I'll cut it out. What the F am I doing here? I have no time for me. Mm. How many people depend on me? So I decided, okay, I went to a retreat. I came back a new person. Now my family hates me. I think I went, she went overboard, like from doing everything to, this is going on for a while. But bottom line is, when she journaled, she realized the thing she has a rough time with is disappointing people because she's not showing up the way they expect her to show up. Please help, please help, please help. She can't wait. P.S. I can't afford another retreat. I love my people. You can see it. She goes, she's doing too much. She goes to a 2-day thing and she comes back, goes, yeah, I'm not doing that. You do that, you do that. And it's extreme. And now, but when she's coming back to it, I get it. Like,
yeah,
they expected you to be a certain way. And now you are, and she wants to be authentic to herself.
Yeah.
Her husband said, oh my God, I love this woman. I'm just speaking my truth. And he says, what truth is it? Last week's or this one's?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Help. You get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand completely she's coming from.
Yeah.
Well, I've got several thoughts about this. When we aren't making our boundaries clear, this is what happens. Right. When people just want us to be here, there, everything, we're everything to everybody. And so when we have been in that mode of just doing it, you know, and without much thought. And then before you realize you don't even know who you are and what you're really doing, that's where, you know, there's got to be some reprogramming, all right, if you will, on what we say. So I was given a whole lot of stuff all a lot of times. And I think this comes with age too, you know, in our experiences, we start to realize that life is very short and the things that we have been doing for so long, they're not really serving us well. And how do you share that with the people that you love the most, right? I think that one of the things for me is, you know, when I'm working out, everyone knows, like, don't come down here and ask me anything. I at least trained my 14-year-old son, because my husband, he's, you know, he knows. But our 14-year-old son, he needed a little bit of coaching with that. Was mommy is, she's working. She's doing her thing. I can't help you until after I'm done. It will be 20 more minutes. Find something to do. All right. And so he has learned to kind of entertain himself if I'm working out. The other thing is, how do you say no? Right. I think when we as women, we just want to say no, but there are words that you can use to say no and be very cordial about it, but you have to stand behind it. Right. So it's, I don't have the time right now for that. Is there a way that you can take these things? I have all these things, one of these things off the plate, then maybe perhaps I can fit that in somewhere. But right now, my plate is very full, you know, and it's exactly. It's like, and you have to be able to explain, if you will, prior, because now if I say no, no is a full sentence to me. No is a full sentence to the folks that I say no to. I don't have to do the whole thing to bang as to why, because I don't feel guilty about it. I don't want to lose myself. I lost myself many times when I was in service. I almost felt like I didn't even have a voice sometimes, right? Even if I had said it, it still would come back. Well, you're doing it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think that you just need to have a conversation. There should be a full conversation about how you're feeling with your loved ones, how you just feel strung out going here, there, and everywhere. And how, you know, if they can't show up for themselves the way that they would like to, they can't show up for them the way that they need to be treated, the way that they need to be respected and loved and cared for. And I think, again, that takes practice. You know, you have to start doing it one day and just say, okay, well, you know, I can't continue on like this. Think about all the medical conditions that kind of come from stress,
oh my goodness,
overwhelm, anxiety, pressure.
Most of them. Yeah.
I don't want to be in the hospital or somebody's clinic or ambulance because I could not articulate what I needed.
Yeah.
So I always kind of think in that line. Again, this is easier said than done. Okay. I know it is. You just have to find a way to communicate to those around you that you just can't do everything. You're not the superwoman that you are made up to be.
You know, I find for me.
Yeah.
When I say it sooner, I call it, when I don't hold it in.
That's right.
Build up resentment. And therefore, yes, because I'm not resentful or angry or pissy because they're not understanding what's going on inside my head. And hey, you know, if I was you, I wouldn't be doing that. I would,
right?
You know, that the whole thing we do.
Yeah.
But when I speak my mind sooner, it comes out nicer.
It does. It really does. And I have done, like, I do pre. So there's some timing in it too, right? There's always a timing. You know, I know my husband very well. We've been married for over 20 years. I know when he's at a point where I can't share something because Absolutely. Maybe he had a bad day or maybe he's not in the moment to listen, you know, to all the things. So I don't go and throw like some heavy topic when he's not ready to listen or receive.
Absolutely.
And so paying attention to that is another strategy that we have, we could use, you know, even with our son, you know, I have to be very mindful of their age and what they are going through and the school and so forth. If he comes home from a bad day, I'm not screaming at him, telling him, go clean up your room. You should have cleaned that room up before you left this morning. You know what I mean? And so it is trying to create a level of understanding in the home environment, along with the professional work that you do, and knowing that you have to advocate for yourself. You can't hold these things in. Like you said, you holding these things in, it's just going to pop off and it's going to be crazy. And it's going to be, I call it hard right, you know, because conversations go hard right, you know? So it's like,
yeah. Okay. And the biggest thing too, that we touched on, is they're not me. They don't act like,
they don't know.
They aren't thinking like me. So every time I say, well, if it was me, I wouldn't. Well, guess what? They're not you. So you have to advocate for yourself and not assume, well, if that was me, I would see the other. Oh my God.
Yeah. Because you can't do that.
It's craziness. But thank you. Because I love the way you reminded me too. It is timing.
And yes,
that, you know, with, I always remind myself, first of all, have patience. And then what's the outcome I want? And if I sit right now, is it going to be the outcome I want? Or is it just going to make me feel good to get it off my chest? And then it's going to go awry. That's usually what happens.
Yeah.
So the patience and the outcome I want, it is timing. Okay. Yeah. So, oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy.
No.
I knew this was going to happen.
Of course. This always happens.
Yeah, right. So, but I do want to get in this one. Your personal brand is your superpower. Embrace your strengths and let them shine. I want you to tell us more about that, because obviously you got this down, woman. I could be all over the place.
Every one of us has a brand. You know, this is nothing that we just make up overnight. This has been over time, right? And it evolves based on circumstances and so forth, but understanding your unique gifts, your unique strengths, and then exploiting them. That's what I do. All right. So one of the things that I enjoy doing is I love to get dressed up. Okay. Yeah. I'm that type of woman. I don't even know what sometimes a dress code calls for. And I'm just like, I want to be seen because I love fashion. So I got my certification as an image consultant. And you know, people will tell you what you should be based on your experience. And so, you know, 30 years of service, identity to the uniform. And they were telling me that I should just go into this GS government job, you know, and just get on the rocking chair and just, you know, live my life that way. I was like, okay. But I really knew that for me, I like to speak, I like to communicate, I like to write, and I like fashion, all this stuff. So why not do the dream dabble do? Like, I'm dreaming about it.
Say dream dabble do? I freaking wait.
I'm dabbling. You know, you dabble in the things that you
feel
that you're drawn to. And so after I dabbled a little bit, I was like, you know what? I want to be known for the sleigh. I want to be known as the woman that outside the uniform, like, you wouldn't know if I served in the military if I walked down the street and you passed by me at all.
No.
Okay. At all.
Zero.
But it is part of my story and I use it as my personal brand strategy.
Gotcha.
I can tell you stories on top of stories about leadership, resilience, determination and grit all day long. All right. And so I use what I've been drawn towards as my personal brand. And when I walk into rooms, people already know. Number one, I'm going to be wearing pink. of some sort somewhere in my clothing. Two, I'll probably have on the choker, just depending on where I'm going. And three, they know when I'm talking that I am talking from a place of wisdom and authority. Mm. So, and that's how I've just been able to get so many opportunities. It's ridiculous. I'm like, you look at the calendar and you're like, wow, like, oh my gosh, what is happening here? It's an overflow because it is you. Yep. Personal branding is you. It ain't about nobody else. And I'm not imitating nobody. I'm not like falling in somebody's shoes. I'm creating my own path. I'm a trailblazer. So that's my thought. That's how I show up. Like, that's just me.
What's on your feet? I need to know what you wear on your feet.
Oh, well, I have pink shoes. Now, today I got my slippers on, y'all, because, you know, I'm in my office.
But I mean, you're going somewhere.
Pink shoes.
Always pink. Shoes.
Always pink.
With pink shoes.
Pink shoes. You know, so I chose the color pink for a lot of different reasons. Number one is because I operated in masculine energy for a very long time. Mm. I could not particularly show the feminine side of me the way that I wanted to, because I'm with the boys. I'm with the guys, right? I'm in a uniform. I was camouflaged. So pink stands for softening, grace, compassion, empathy, love. And that is what I remind myself that I need to do more of. So it's a message. And so I convey that message. Like, everything I do is very intentional. There's nothing that I'm doing right now that is just by happenstance. The way that I show up is very intentional. So, you know, when you start to think about that, that's what personal branding is. It's a very concerted effort. I want to be known as a personal brand expert. What? I write books about personal branding. That's what this is all about. So when people know, they're like, oh, we know a woman. We know somebody who fits that description of what we need. I'm top of mind.
Right. Yeah. So I did have a bunch of questions about this, about the personal branding. They wanted to know, when you're not going to speak or you're not doing a workshop and you were going to like a gala or something else that you were participating in, do you still walk in the room on brand?
Yes. It's consistency. Mm-hmm. And what happens is,
say that. Go ahead. Oh, well, go
ahead. It's a conversation starter. People start to think, okay, so AJ's in basketball. Okay. So he's got basketball practices and he's got games. And I wear pink. And one of the women, you know, she's sitting beside me. She says, you know, I notice every time you're wearing pink. And I said, yeah. And it became a conversation. You know what I mean? Then at galas, oh, it's a whole production. Because why not?
I'm sitting here, and I know my listeners were going to be, have you met Sam? Not that I'm known for my wacky shoes. I don't have a color. So yeah. I would have funky shoes.
That's a personal brand strategy.
And most times I have funky, wild sneakers with a dress, which most people have heels in. But
that's right.
Okay, so that's good.
That's good. That's, you know, it's
so out of the norm. I don't have a color?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's out of the norm. It's not, you know, people kind of go, but then when you do it 2 and 3, 4 times over and you keep doing it, they're like, and then they don't even know your name. You can go into rooms and people won't even know your name, but then they'll go like, the woman that had those shoes on, did you see those shoes?
Yeah. One fancy woman, she always wears like 5-inch stilettos. I'm always curious what you're going to have in your feet. I'm like,
that's right.
But although it could backfire, because I did speak in Thailand and everyone said I went viral, my feet. My speech.
Hey.
It didn't include my head. No, it did. It was my shoes.
Hey.
It's a start.
It's a start. I wouldn't mind my shoes being in the limelight at all. Because then you remember, you're like, who was wearing them shoes? Oh, let's get her back on here.
Oh, I'm going to give myself grace for that.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right. So let's talk about this, because I was just at a networking event.
Oh.
And I call them beautiful strangers. So I like going somewhere where I know nobody and mm-hmm. see who I could chit with. My yeah. friends who are very confident, if they're not sure they know someone, they'll bring me, even buy me a ticket, because they don't feel comfortable the walking in initially until they see somebody they know. And then they could blow me off, right? I'm that gal. So I want you to address how you walk in with confidence, like you own the room, for all the amazing women and men out there who may not know anybody and they're walking in alone.
Yeah.
It needs to be the sticky wicket. Like if they're walking in with someone, cool beans.
Yeah.
So how do you do that and feel like you own the room, even if you're walking in and you know, you probably do know someone, but you're not sure.
Yeah, I do it all the time. So this is a great question.
It's fun.
Okay,
game.
So just so everyone knows that when I transitioned out of my uniform, I had some doubts about walking into the rooms because I didn't think that I belonged. I didn't think I should be there. All the others have been in the industry or doing what they've done for many years. And so, you know, they know everybody who knows everybody know her. So this girl walking in here, all right, thinking that she's going to build connections and relationships with people that we've had for a long, long time. And I remember going to my first event. I had my stomach was turning in and out because I was like talking myself out of going to the event by myself. I'm like, I don't need to be in here. Why am I subjecting myself to put in a condition where I'm just going to feel overwhelmed and nobody's going to talk to me and so forth and so on. So I started to pump myself up. So I do a little bit of pumping up, y'all. I do some affirmations like, I am powerful. I am strong. I am beautiful. People are going to love me.
I love it. I love it. Are you doing this in the car? Where are we doing it?
In the car. You know, I got certain songs, y'all. I do play Beyonce's Formation song because it says, we slay, I slay, we slaying. Okay, so
that's the anthem.
Right,
that's right.
It's the anthem. So we pump ourselves up. We give ourselves affirmation. And then I ask myself again, what will happen if you don't go into that space? Mm-hmm. There may be someone there or something there that has been waiting for you.
Ooh.
And all this is a test. This is a challenge. Can you cross the threshold of not knowing anything or anybody in this room?
Mm.
Even if you only stay for 10 minutes, right? I remember just going in there and just be like, let me feel the vibe. Let me kind of, you know, see. And then if 10 minutes, this is probably not good. So I did that. I did like 10 minute increments until I was like, you know what? I'm in here. All right.
That's an idea.
But when you said that your friends buy you tickets for you to come with them so they can feel a little bit more comfortable. I have a few friends that do that too.
Yeah.
They bring me along because they know I've been out here, you know, doing all these different networking events. And if I can introduce them to somebody, they'll gotcha. Feel a little bit more like, okay, I can do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it definitely is practice. It's being comfortable with who you are and you have to know what to say. I think that's the other piece where people don't know how to share what they do and how they do it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they're afraid for the question of, well, what exactly do you do?
Right.
And, you know, they're thinking in their head all these other, you know, ways that they show up in as a mom or as, you know, I don't know, working in your profession. So they feel like they have to have something really like polished and, you know, really great to say, you know. And I just realized that I just keep it very simple. and not confuse people. And I never lead out with, I was in the Air Force for 30 years. Never. Because some people like the military and some people don't.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to find a way to share who you are, kind of the passions and interests that you love in a catchy way where it brings more questions to who you are. And, you know, I just say, I help women show up so they can look good, feel good. And they're like, huh? Look good, feel good. What are we talking about?
I told you.
And I said, well, we focus on the ABCDs. And they're like, what is that? Tell me more. You know, and so you can just continue to share something like that and find something that you're comfortable with and stick to it. Change it. Don't change it. Stay consistent with that. And then it starts to grow, you know, and it's like, I feel a lot more confident here. Wear something really that you feel comfortable in. Never go in there with something that you feel like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, that you can't stand up from the table. I see people just sitting on a table and they're by themselves because they don't feel confident in what they were wearing. They don't want to show people, you know, what they're wearing, you know. I mean, I always get like, I should have wore this necklace that I have, you know, in my jewelry box, but I didn't wear it because, and I'm like, why? Why didn't you wear it? What are you afraid of? Showing who you really are? People get over it. People get over it.
I don't even know what I had on. I was in Raleigh helping with a TEDx, and some woman stopped me on the street. And, you know, I'm sure she's around my age. She's like, excuse me, can I take your picture? I'm like, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, I go, why? And she's like, well, because I have so many things in my closet that I don't wear anymore because I think I'm too old.
Mm.
And then I see you. I'm thinking, what is she talking about? You know, this is just who I am. I don't think, oh, it's not appropriate for my age. And we got to talking. She's like, yeah, I have all this stuff I won't wear because I think that's what younger people should wear. All I had on was a little dress and sneakers.
Yeah.
With bright
colors.
It's
the confidence. It's also this is the inner work that needs to happen prior to you exploring these outfits that you got on the rack with price tags on it.
That's true.
There is something there that you are telling yourself, or somebody's telling you, you too old.
Yeah.
That's society right there. That's society telling you that you can't do, you can't be, you're dried up. You have no business trying to come out here and get a piece of life. Right. So
piece of life.
Just sit in the back corner somewhere and just watch everybody else live. No, I got way too much that y'all want. Okay. And I'm serious. Wisdom, experiences, expertise, skills. I can run circles around you. So why am I not showing up in that way? Why do I tell myself I am smaller and I need to just compartmentalize myself and box myself in? Why do we do that? I'm here to like tell everybody we're not doing that anymore. All right. I need you to show up.
Yep.
And I mean, show up, to show out. None of this plain like you, oh, I don't have anything to wear. I'm not going to. And all this timidness, and you know, because you don't want anyone to judge you. You don't want anybody to say anything to you. You know, you feel like, oh, everybody's watching me and they're like asking themselves questions. Yeah. After a while, I just be like, your life is probably sad, miserable. And I don't collude with that. I do not collude with that.
Oh my God, I love you.
What's that saying?
No, because right, the reason I'm laughing is because I'm thinking it is so needed. And how you present it, and I don't know, I'm sure you know this, but the way you present all the material for others is like, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You have to do it.
You have to do it.
Like,
you have to do it.
Not negotiable.
It's not.
I got way too much here to offer. Yeah. I'm not listening to your rules and what you want me to do, but it's not even like maybe, and you exude that. This is like
There is no question about how I move. I navigate in such a way that if I don't show up like this, my spirit tells me, what are you doing? You are not what you say you are. I am affectionately called the slay queen, because I slay in all the things. Now, the slay queen, if the slay queen shows up looking like she just done rolled up out of the bed, okay, that is not really the persona that I am trying to portray.
Absolutely.
You know, so why not go all the way in? And when people say, hey, Slay Queen, and they say it all out loud, they see me, I say, hey, Queen.
I love it. All right, we got
Hey, Queen.
I can't believe it. There's another podcast starting at 2:00. Here I am. I wanted to talk to you afterwards. I am guesting. I got to go. But before
you got to go.
Before we go, I adore every ounce of your being. I think you're incredible. I love you. I would do anything to help promote you. I think the world needs you and more people like you. And you embody every single thing you say. And I've done this for a lot of years, and there's a lot of well-meaning people, but it's still not coming out that way. So how can they find you and reach you?
That's important. Everywhere. Just go, y'all. Google, put in Rochelle Hemingway, and you will find where I'm at. On the IG, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, I got a YouTube channel, I do podcasts. Y'all, I have a website. Just put in Rochelle Hemingway. I challenge you to do that. A whole bunch of stuff will come up.
All right, Slay Queen, I love that. You rock and roll, you're right. You inspire others to do the same. Let's keep people. Come on, you need to share, like, and rate this. You know, there's so many people that would love listening to it and viewing it. Yes. Shout out of my heart. I love you. We will chat later. I can't wait to see you explode. What's happening? And
I thank you for allowing me an opportunity to be on your platform. I'm just looking forward to this conversation. It is everything that I was thinking about. So thank you so much.
Sure. But my Let's Keep It Real people, you know what I'm going to say. Until next time, toodles.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to share and subscribe if you enjoyed the show. And remember, keep spreading the positive.